0.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
This is the first show that we are doing in July, the month of July, for all of these Genesis radio stations. I'm starting the second hour out here, the hour that we typically devote to resource issues with my friend Richard Karn of the Emerging Friends Report. You know, on the Daily Show and also on some of the radio segments, I've been chatting with Richard about what's going on in Australia, where he is doing an extensive study of the resource industry. And I found it very interesting that a lot of the things that we had been talking about were really summarized the end of last week, actually, on June 25th in the Wall Street Journal. They were talking about how, well, the name of the article was Australia Leader Vows Vote Engages Miners. Here's what's going on down there. The mining tax, which is proposed in Australia right now, which the government thought would win popular support by spreading the wealth from a booming sector, instead has fueled public worry in Australia about its credibility as an investment destination. Geez, I wonder why. Companies in the country's critical mining sector were furious that they weren't consulted before the tax was announced, and that many key complaints were later dismissed by the government. A pollster down in Australia by the name of Roy Black says that the upcoming election has to be really about the tax. All the other issues are, you know, they're important, but this one is absolutely critical. The new Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, is saying that she's called for a truce between the mining companies and the government. And she said she quickly claimed, and here's a quote, an early success when global mining giants BHP Billiton Limited and Rio Tinto Limited, along with the industry, a lobbying group called the Minerals Council of Australia, agreed to her request that they suspend their anti-tax ads. The government likewise canceled its ads in support of the tax. Richard, what is really going on down there in this instance?
Well, I think that right now the focus of the Labor Party, who's in power down here, the Labor Party would equate with the Democrats in the United States, and liberals, curiously, would correspond with the Republican Party. So you have to keep that straight in your head to start with. The Labor Party right now is on very, very thin ice, and they have an election coming up, and their primary concern is not the resource tax, it's getting reelected. And so Julia Gillard, who is very popular right now because of all the firsts, you know, the first woman, the yada, 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 she was one of the Gang of Four that was involved in all of these red policies, which have blown up in the Labor Party face. And so she is in a situation where she has to kind of do damage control. And so she's faced with two possibilities here. One, she can either call an election sooner than later, possibly as soon as August, to take care of her popularity, to take advantage of her popularity. And all she would have to do really is to offer a fig leaf to the mining industry. So she could say, look, we're making strides towards this. Mr. Rudd made a mistake, and we're making strides towards it, and I'm popular to reelect Labor. The other choice is that she can draw this out until, I believe, April 11th is the deadline by which she must announce an election. That's April 11th of next year. And if she were to do that, then the ploy would be to undermine solidarity on the mining industry, which was something Rudd was already undertaking before he was essentially booted from office. And what he was doing is he had gone to the coal bed methane industry in Queensland and had employed some of the tactics that President Obama employed in the United States with health care by offering that industry exemptions from the mining tax. Now, whether or not, you know, those are really the only two options that are available. And my take on things would be that Ms. Gillard will play on her popularity to be seen as offering a fig leaf to the mining industry, and she'll call an election as soon as possible, possibly as early as August. That's my take on things.
Okay. Well, the comment that I would make on this is, you know, I hope cooler heads prevail, because, I mean, the mining industry is very, very important to Australia. And I would have to, you know, firmly believe, you know, as some of the opposition to this tax are saying, you know, we really question the credibility, the maintenance of Austria's credibility as a place to do business by foreign companies. I mean, if mining companies are going to get significantly taxed, Richard, why the heck would they want to do business there? It just, I mean, that's a very simplistic thing to say, but in my mind is a very interesting question. Take 30 seconds and give me your view on that.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, there's the whole world has a lot of resources. Australia just happens to have a hell of a lot in a very large continent and in a very small population, and so it's a very rich resources, but they're very expensive to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Capital, as Dennis Dartman reminds us over and over again, capital goes to where it's treated well. And now we've got Chile and Canada jumping all over this, saying, hey, if you don't want to send your money to Australia, we're here and we're cheap. Come and give it to us. That's what's going to happen everywhere. The Labor government has a, you know, their management of the economy has been, let's call it, questionable. And this is exemplifies a lot of the nonsense that they have undertaken here. It's as if they don't have a very good grasp of how business operates sometimes.
I think that's a really, really interesting point. Okay, we're going to switch to another subject here. We're going to talk a little bit about some demand issues and supply issues in the resource sector. Richard, what'd you come up with there?
Well, yeah, as you know, we came down here to look at 43. Actually, came down here to look at 42 metals, and by talking to Alkane, we actually discovered how badly we've missed the boat on zirconia. But we came down here to look at 42 metals, not including gold, which play very significant roles in technology, aviation, aerospace, and green technologies. And the reason these metals are so critical is they have very specific properties, which are only, you know, they are without substitute in many, many applications. But it turns out that of this list, we had a very large list, and we've been narrowing it down, adding to it, narrowing it down over the years since we wrote our scrap report in the end of 2007. And what we found is that there's six constraints on supply. This isn't just nationalization. This is, some of these metals are just used up and, you know, the whole nine yards. You could read any of our stuff and see what we're talking about. So I don't need to reprise it here. But it's interesting that on the 14th of June this year, the EU finally produced their report. Now, when we wrote our report in end of 2007, we had already had access to the U.S. Academy of Sciences reports, the Board of Earth Science reports, the National Resource Council's reports on the metals that the U.S. government was finally identifying. You know, we had people like Jack Lipton saying for years this was coming. And the government finally was picking up on this. Now the EU is picking up on it also. And as you recall, in December, the Japanese put aside $500 million just to go out and find the metals that they've identified as being critical to their industry. So the EU came out with their list, and it's got all of the metals that we have on ours, but they had three bonus rounds, you know, three metals that we hadn't considered. One is fluorspar, another is graphite, and the third was magnesium. Turns out two of those three metals are now on our list because they are here in Australia and they are producible. We are going to be heading off in the next week or 10 days. We're doing some sites now, but we're actually going to be heading down to South Australia. And on the way, over the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at graphite mines, manganese, magnesium, the mineral sands for zirconium and titanium, more narrow vein gold mines, indium mine, molybdenum, tungsten, antimony, cobalt, vanadium, silver. You name it, there's everything there, and we're really excited about getting back on track in terms of going out and looking at stuff instead of being obsessed with the resource tax.
What I find to be interesting is that Australia, really, from what you're telling me, Australia is really you know, awash, so to speak, in a lot of the supply of assets, minerals specifically, that some of the countries are saying are incredibly important to them. Boy, in light of that, you know, I mean, I don't want to beat this tax thing to death, but in light of that, it just strikes me that Australia, the government, should do everything in their power, Richard, to maintain a very, very strong worldwide presence to encourage investment in the mining industry in that particular country.
Well, that's exactly right. A lot of these metals are byproducts, and so you're going to get a lot of supply from the big players, you know, the BHPs, the Rios, the Xstratas, and things like that. But here in Australia, a lot of these mines are very, very small. By North American standards, we call them actually microcap. And so, you know, the RSPT essentially cuts off funding for all these countries. They're just in limbo sitting there now, and they can't get any financing from anybody, or very few. There have been a few companies that have been able to get financing. Let me clarify that. And we're very interested in them also, but that's another story for another segment. But the point is that, yes, they have all this resource wealth. A lot of these projects are going to be very small, you know, very small by North American and North American standards, just leave it at that. But they're not going to be able to get any financing. And so we can't even look at companies that aren't fully financed, right? We need cashed-up companies that are projects and financed, and that narrows our search considerably. But it's still, the resource wealth is here. The government is shooting themselves in the foot.
I agree. The resource wealth is there, and the government is shooting itself in the foot. Listen, if you want to find out more about what Richard is doing, follow the link from our homepage to the Emerging Trends Reports. Big Al's going to be right back with John Kaiser. Stick around.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy. The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KeroStove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KeroStove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KeroStove.com. Kero Stove, for family emergency solutions.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
I am chatting right now with John Kaiser. We're gonna devote a couple of segments to our conversation. John and his newsletter, I have to really recommend his newsletter to you folks. John is frequently the newsletter writer of the week on our homepage website. This guy is really insightful and really has, I would have to say, a very good pulse on the resource industry and the resource stock market. John, number one, thanks for joining me. But number two, let's talk a little bit about what you wrote in your newsletter about what you think is going to be the net effect of all of these austerity measures that are being thrown around right now. Let's talk first about the austerity measures. I personally think they're absolutely necessary, and I don't think you agree with that. But you're on, my friend. What do you have to say about all of that?
Well, the debate is whether or not it is premature to start imposing austerity measures and focus on deficit reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument, against this approach is that there really is not yet an economic vision in place that, at least for the post-industrial West, meaning Europe and North America, that will drive the economy forward again, that will allow the economy to grow. So the concern that I see emerging is that the business, rather than being inspired by this evidence that there's deficit reduction in place, will actually be even more cautious about investing money because they see a perhaps death spiral emerging where you see further deflation in the form of lower asset values and property values and so on, higher unemployment, and basically no aftermarket for any goods and services that you can produce.
But John, don't you think that perhaps we are economically in a situation in Europe and in North America where being able to grow our way out of this is really a hope and a prayer as opposed to a reality?
Yes, and I think what all this talk about the austerity measures and so on is more a fake to try and persuade the boomers, that big demographic bubble, which is the long-term problem coming, that they be prepared to cut back on their entitlement expectations, that perhaps we get a higher retirement age and that the payouts that they expect when they retire are lower. And in California here, we have a substantial problem with an enormous retiring group of former government employees who are making $100,000 to $200,000 a year plus medical benefits. And this is just going to grow and grow and grow. And the rest of the people who do not have this privilege are becoming very resentful about this prospect. And the businesses here are wondering, where is this state going to go to in the long run? Which taxpayers are going to be paying this? And that's back to my comment about what is the economic backbone going to be for the United States economy? The old days of building houses and flipping mortgages and unloading paper manufactured in Wall Street on the rest of the world, those are effectively over.
I agree.
So what productive economic activity lies for the future of a state like California and, for that matter, the rest of the United States?
You know, that's a very good question, and that's why I would maintain that to grow our way out of this, I don't think is feasible. You know, and I have guests on the program who vehemently disagree with me. They think, you know, even with a growth rate of 2%, 3%, what have you, that the United States will ultimately grow its way out of it. I don't see that as being the case. And, you know, and I'll point to a couple of examples. Number one, the savings rate in our country right now is up to 4%. Well, that's great for the savers, but that's not good for the economy because people aren't spending money. Consumer confidence, the number that came out earlier in the week, is not very good right now. It's declining. Private sector employment, those numbers aren't very good. You know, I think that people need to be aware of the fact that these ridiculous entitlements simply have to be cut. Now, I wouldn't put Social Security in that category, and the reason I say that is because of my age. No, the reason I say that is because Social Security is simply a return on money that individuals have already given up. Some of the entitlements, that's not the case at all. Some of the entitlements are basically hidden salaries, okay? They're benefits that people really haven't, what's the best way to put this? I mean, people haven't really put money directly into the entitlement programs. So they are basically a call on, you know, on future profits, theoretically, right?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I wrote about the other day is that business wants to put the money where they see the market for the goods and services that its business investment will generate
right.
Can be bought. You go to Asia, they have a low-cost structure. They have a rising standard of living, which means the people there are going to be buying more and more goods as they get wealthier. What do we have here? We have a high-cost structure, which cannot properly compete with Asia, and we have this cost structure actually being pressured down as a result of these deflationary pressures and rising unemployment. But it's going to be a long time before the two meet. So my concern is what would compel business to actually invest in productive capacity within the United States that will allow the job growth to happen that perhaps could take care of these entitlement expectations down the road and ensure a very broad-based quality of life for Americans.
John, let me ask you this question. Okay, now theoretically, you know, that is very, very possible. But let's put a time frame on this. Let's talk about the next 5 years. I don't think we can see any results in that short a period of time. Do you?
We can only see the trend in the right direction emerge, and that's why in my writings I've also focused on this idea of electrifying the transportation industry in the United States. This kills, slays two bad dragons. One is climate change, as insofar as it's caused by human greenhouse gas emissions, and the other is the dependency on oil, which basically is the reason we have an extraordinary military budget and all these problems overseas, and now we are dealing with the problem in the Gulf of Mexico where an accident is wiping out all kinds of other industry as collateral damage. If people can see a vision where the future is actually going to change to the better, and even though there are no short-term benefits that are going to be very tangible in the next 5 years, if they see it as all going in a productive direction, then this country can put its shoulder back to the wheel and, you know, incur the sacrifices required in the meantime, knowing that there is a productive purpose to it all.
I think that's a very good point. I think that if people see, if citizens of various countries see those countries going in what they perceive is the right direction, I think that attitudinal change will go a long way in fixing the problem. You agree?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question whatsoever about that in my mind.
You know, yesterday Tesla Motors did its IPO. This is the first American car company to do an IPO in 54 years.
John, got to cut you off just for a minute. We've got to take a short break here. Big Al's going to be right back with John Kaiser. Going to talk more about the economy, about the resurgence perhaps of the auto industry in the United States and other things. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog.
Wow.
Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain clog past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull.
Wow.
You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain clog has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
The drain
Drain Claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The Drain Claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the Drain Claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the Drain Claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe?
Think again.
Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Yes, yes.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Big Al is continuing to chat with John Kaiser. John, before we took the break, was talking about a very interesting initial public offering that came out here in the U.S. this past week, Tesla Motors. It's the first car company to do an IPO in many, many years. John, kind of recap that one for us, would you?
Yesterday on June 29th, Tesla Motors did an IPO, $226 million, done at $17 at the high end of the range. It closed up on that day 40% at almost $24. On Wednesday, it shot as high as $30, and this is what you call a hot IPO. What makes it so interesting? Well, it's an all-electric car being manufactured in the United States at the old NUMMI abandoned auto factory in Fremont, California, where Toyota and GM basically abandoned it in the wake of the recession. So to some degree, although it's modest right now, 1,000 cars produced since 2008, it is a symbol of hope that, hey, here's something different for the country. We've had gasoline-powered cars for 80 years. Here's a different future. Don't know how well Tesla will succeed with its own product, but we will see more copycats down the road. And I'm optimistic that this idea of changing the infrastructure to accommodate electric cars in the United States is going to do wonders for those two dragons that bother us right now, climate change and dependency on oil as a transportation fuel.
Well, the question I would have is, you know, I mean, that IPO was incredibly successful, you know, and it's trading, as you say, way up from the offering price. But the question I have is, you're talking about, I mean, you're talking about a very, very small market here. This is a very, very expensive automobile. And, you know, I mean, it's in terms of the total supply of cars in the United States, this thing is just basically a blip if that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, this is a symbolic development, and it's going to take 15 to 20 years to transition away from gasoline-powered cars. But it's valuable in that it shows us a direction for which there is investor support that people can, you know, hang their hats on and say, this is what we want to focus on and endure the misery that we may have to suffer in the next while as we cope with the inevitable austerity measures that are required as part of the crash that we suffered in 2008.
John, I think you bring up a very, very interesting point here. You know, we were chatting in the previous segment here about how, I mean, we didn't put it in these words, but we were talking about how it's all about attitude. And I have to agree with you 100%. I think that if people see that there is a change in the direction that an economy is going, that the austerity measures that I believe are absolutely necessary are going to be a whole lot easier to swallow. And you brought that out very, very well, in my opinion, in the latest edition of your newsletter, the Kaiser Bottom Fishing Report. Let me ask you this. What impact do you think that this is going to have on the overall market?
The austerity measures are right now having a sort of putting a negative pall on the market. The juniors' liquidity has dried up, even though gold made a new high last week. There is no speculative capital flowing into the juniors because people are concerned that perhaps gold will also succumb to a deflationary spiral and start going down. And then, of course, when you have a downtrend in the price of gold, then you will not have any interest in gold juniors who have ounces in the ground or a great exploration play that may discover a whole bunch of ounces in the ground. So the perception now is that maybe we're tipping back into a recession that I don't think we ever left.
I agree.
That we're probably grinding into a depression if you ignore all the little statistics that they use to define such things. We're at a bit of a tipping point here, and I'm very concerned that even if gold grinds higher, there's not going to be any follow-through in the resource juniors simply because people are too concerned about their capital being preserved. They may buy gold, but that's not going to change things overnight because gold is just going to grind higher. And so what if they make a little bit more than the 0.5% they might make in a T-bill?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The jury, in my mind, is still out on the resource market. My wife and I continue to invest in the resource market. I'm much more comfortable, I have to say, there than I am in the conventional stock market right now. And I think there are opportunities. The slowdown, I guess, that we're seeing right now in trading volumes, you know, one could say, well, that is, you know, in the past, that's been attributable almost entirely to the summer doldrums. You know, June, July, and August are typically very, very slow months in our industry in terms of stock volume. So one could say that prices aren't doing very much, perhaps for that reason. The concept of speculative capital not going into the resource industry, the only comment that I would make on that is Clyde Harrison, who is a co-host of mine on another radio show that we do that airs on the Business Talk Radio Network, feels that it's going to be a very strong sector right around the corner because it gives people, when people buy resource stocks, theoretically it gives them a call on things. It gives them a call on assets in the ground. And he thinks that's going to propel people to continue to buy up these stocks. And you apparently don't agree with that, correct?
I would disagree for two reasons. One is the price of gold needs to have a very dramatic increase to pull in a lot of money from the sidelines. There is a lot of money on the sidelines, but it's not being deployed right now. What is being deployed is being harvested by a bloated trading investment industry, brokers, traders, software programs, all hovering over this market. And when liquidity comes in the form of new money, they are in there sucking it up and siphoning it out through their trading strategies, and they prevent uptrends from actually developing in companies which, when you boil it down, have no intrinsic value because they're all about potential that has yet to be tapped. And in my view, we need a very dramatic increase in the price of gold, or a general sense that the worst in terms of this economic downturn is behind us, for us to see enough capital come into the market to overwhelm this trading squid that's there, sucking away all the capital that comes in through their being able to sell short on a downtick and through using programs that intercept orders and basically manipulate prices down so that anybody putting money in is immediately punished by seeing the stock trade lower than what they invested in it, and therefore standing back and saying, whoa, this thing is not going in the right direction.
But, John, in your newsletter, you're still, you know, I went over your latest newsletter, which came out last Tuesday evening, and you're still recommending resource stocks. You're still telling subscribers, you know, you folks ought to be buying these stocks.
I'm telling them that in select ones, you should be looking at, you know, trying to find a position. If you own them already, you're stuck with this possibility that we may see an icicle-style formation where there are simply no bids and somebody taps out stock and paints the chart so that these stocks look like they're falling off a cliff. My recommendation to people right now is hold those core positions that you have in these ounces in the ground, these rare earth projects that are more advanced, and be prepared to endure this kind of downward spike during the summer doldrum. But the bet you're going to have to make is that by September, this will be over, and we will see a stronger economic future, or at least we will see the commodities that are related to these particular stocks bucking the trend relative to the overall economy.
It's all about perception. If people realize that the direction that we are, the new direction, for lack of better terms, that the United States is heading, that will be a catalyst for a growth in investment.
We see numbers of orders increasing, business orders and so on. There's several currents. There's still a sense of real estate prices sinking.
Right.
But there are signs that industry wants to pick up, and we need that inflection point where this glass goes from half empty back to half full.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV.
With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites, and a converter for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Okay, you got to admit, John Kaiser is a very, very interesting guy. His take on the importance of perception, I think, is very, very important. And, you know, I guess I would have to agree with him that I think that the perception is going to change and that will bring money back into the market. But I still think that, I don't know, it's going to be a very, very interesting few months ahead to see where this whole thing goes. Okay, here to wrap up the show, Brent Cook is with me to help me out. Brent is an exploration geologist. He is also very, very astute on financial issues, for lack of better terms. Brent has a newsletter called Exploration Insights. Just, you know, just a really, really good guy. Brent, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Al.
You know, we put up a video, the link, I should say, to a video on our website that very, very effectively outlines one of the things that you and I were talking about off the air here earlier, dealing with what's going on in Europe and dealing with the implications of what's going on in Europe and the United States. It's really, really frightening, you know, and rather than let the cat totally out of the bag, because I would like people to watch this video, but they're talking, these two fellows are talking about the ludicrousness of how the European debt is being handled, and in reality, you know, the ludicrousness of how the U.S. debt is being handled, and it's, I personally think this is very, very interesting because I think the implications on commodity prices, on economic activity, et cetera, are the implications are huge. You know, your comments on that?
I would agree that they're huge. There's serious problems over there in Europe with sovereign debt, and that, as this video points out, one guy's paying the other guy with the other guy's money, and there's
right, generated.
So it's an issue that I think's come to the fore, and we're entering a phase now of basically deleveraging on sovereign level, on the corporate level, and on personal level in the developed world.
Yeah.
That to me is a negative for stock market and a lot of things out there.
Well, the only thing right now, the only economy right now that I have any faith in terms of growth, and their growth has been scaled back, is China. You know, and as this video pointed out, China basically, one could argue, owns the United States right now.
They certainly own a lot of our debt.
Yeah.
We'll see how they get that back.
It will be interesting. I think that we're in interesting times, no question about it. Brent, rather than talk about the gloom and doom side of this thing, what do you think people ought to do to protect themselves right now?
I think what we're seeing is, in general, a decline in global aggregate demand, and that's
by and large, that's deflationary, at least in terms of prices. And what we've seen the G20 come up with to, you know, solve their problems, so to speak, is increasing taxes and decreasing spending.
Right.
That's going to add to the problem. So I don't see, personally, the stock market in general as the place to be. Certainly,
yeah.
Certain stocks do it good no matter what. And I don't personally see commodities, be that copper, lead, zinc, corn, soybeans, or whatever, as a place I'll be putting much of my money. But the corollary of that is gold. Gold has done exceptionally well. I mean, you look at the chart, and it's, you know, if you're a chartist, that's a beautiful chart. And I think we're going to see gold continue to do well because it's one of the few assets that cannot be devalued by governments.
No, it can't. You know, it's interesting. I opened the show a couple hours ago with Danielle Park, and Danielle is, a colleague of mine and a colleague of yours. I don't know if you, how well you know her, but she's a portfolio manager and an author, works out of Toronto. And she was telling me that she, you know, with their clients, what they are doing is they're basically taking a wait and see attitude right now and, putting most of their clients' assets into either very, very safe long-term bonds, or cash. And I personally think that gold at this point is even safer than that. But regardless, the general consensus right now is the stock market is not a good place to be. I agree with one caveat, and the caveat that I would make is I still think that the resource stock market is a very good place to be. But, you know, what do I know? What do you know, Brett?
What do I know? What I do know, and this is, you know, getting back to the gold and what I mostly do, is which is junior exploration companies and mining companies, is that, you know, the major mining companies cannot keep up with demand.
Right.
Basically. And that's an interesting paradigm they're facing, in that gold prices are at $1,200-something, and they cannot produce enough gold
to fulfill the demand.
To fulfill demand. And that's a beautiful situation for anyone that's able to find a new gold deposit, discover a gold deposit. So that, to me, is the number one place to be. Admittedly, it's a very risky spot, but that's the place to be. Personally, and in my letter, you know, I talk about what I do with my money.
Yeah.
I'm about 50% cash, and that piece is between U.S. and Canadian dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The other 50% in these junior exploration and mining companies.
Yeah.
They do, and mostly gold, and I do believe they are poised to do really well.
You know, I think they are, and I think that, you know, as John Kaiser brought out in the last couple of segments, you know, the attitude of the investing public is very important, and he feels that unless the attitude of the investing public is going to change, that you're not going to see much activity in terms of the mining sector, you know, buying and selling stocks, I guess I should say, in the mining sector. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like John a lot, and I have nothing but respect for his intellect, his newsletter, et cetera, but I don't know. I think that, you know, Bob Moriarty got me on the bandwagon about 3 years ago, and then followed up by Clyde Harrison on the bandwagon of really people wanting to invest in things. And as you say, junior resource companies, yeah, they're speculative. They're very speculative. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you invest in companies that have measurable assets, you know, and a lot of these exploration companies fall into that category. If they have measurable assets, you know, measurable according to, 43-101 numbers that come out of Canada that are highly regulated by the government, if they have those assets, wow, I don't see how you can miss, Brent.
I guess the caveat I would throw on top of that is these measured assets have got to be economic as well.
Of course.
I spend a lot of time going through 43-101 reports, and you'd be surprised how many of them report resources that there is no way they'll be economic. And I do believe we're investors in general are entering a phase they're going to be more and more risk-averse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, although I agree that the resource sector and gold sector is the place to be, you've got to be very, very selective, because if a resource is not economic or never will be, it doesn't go anywhere.
Okay. How can investors be aware of what's real and what is real but not, perhaps, as you say, economic?
That's tough. That takes 30 years of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, that's what it really comes down to. Is you've got to be able to read these reports and go through the details and make that, you know, a decision. Is this potentially economic, or is this never going to be economic? And there's lots of companies out there with big market caps and, you know, ounces in the ground that will never be economic.
Give me an example.
C Seabridge.
Yeah.
They've got tens of millions of ounces up there in BC,
mm-hmm.
and I don't believe those will ever be economic because the grade is low. The capex to put these things into production, we're talking many, many billions of dollars to put it in production,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the grade is not there to recoup your costs. It's a way too high a risk endeavor, but they've got lots of ounces. I would point to another one, Graystar. I think they've got the ounces, but I don't think they'll be economic.
You don't. Interesting point. Why then are people, you know, in terms of these two companies, why are they, and you got to admit, they're kind of the darlings of the resource sector right now and have been for the last two or three years. Why is that the case, real quick?
They're very good at promoting the story, and unless you look at the details, you see, you know, they've got 10 million ounces or 20 million ounces, and that's the number you go to. And people tend to value those in terms of dollar market cap per ounce, which
mm-hmm.
is a bogus number. What they should be looking at is margin, actual profit margin on that ounce. If you devalue it in that respect, these companies are way overvalued, in my opinion. There's lots of opinions out there, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting point. And, you know, I think that in summary, what is important to realize here is, number one, if you agree that this particular sector, financial sector, is a good place to be, you need to take it to the next level. And what taking it to the next level means to me is, number one, you need to work with people who really, really understand the industry. I mean, Big Al is fortunate in the sense that, you know, I have friends like Brent Cook who I can run ideas by, you know, and I get some what I consider to be very, very highly qualified opinions. You know, you need to read the newsletters that these folks put out. You also need to work with a qualified investment advisor, somebody who understands the business. And, you know, at this point, I guess I would have to give a plug to our mutual friend Rick Rule. And I will be doing some interviewing with Rick at the Freedom Fest next week. Hey, thanks for listening this week. Big Al's going to be back with you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.